right. Happy days. Here we are. Happy days are here again. I have the one and only Phil Biffle with Edward Jones. He's always trying to figure out how to make good investments. And Phil, how are you doing today?
Not bad.
Not bad.
Still no complaints. It's been a good year. You know, we've now posted 5 negative days in a row, and this was the worst one of the year. So, but we've been up so much, and if you look from the bottom, we've come up about 30%, and we've given back about 5. So, when you get a pullback like this, it gives buying opportunities, so that makes us happy.
You know, that's one thing I like talking about you, Phil. You know, you've got the down line and you've got the up line, right?
That's right. We can go both ways.
Absolutely. So, it's good to have you in the studio sitting down. We got a lot of fun stuff we can talk about and interesting things. But first off, what did you think about Rick Santorum pulling out today?
It's time.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think they stayed in it long enough to kind of keep the Obama administration off their off balance a little bit, but it was time. I mean, they had no chance of winning. I mean, it was just a numbers game. And, of course, Newt's money had dried up at this point in time, and I think the health of his daughter and everything else.
You're talking about Rick's daughter.
Yeah, Rick. Yeah, his announcement today. But I was kind of impressed with Mitt Romney when he pulled his ads in Pennsylvania when they had to put Rick's daughter in the hospital. So, you know, I was impressed.
Absolutely. So how do you think, looking at the field right now, since it looks like, barring some catastrophic disaster here with Mitt Romney, that he's going to be the Republican?
Well, I still think he wins the election. I think the news media as a whole is in Obama's pocket. I think even on their polls, they ask questions to get a positive number, and I think they've created an illusion that Obama's going to win re-election, and I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he'll have the turnout that he wants. I don't see anybody happy with the economy right now. And you've got the job problems. So, well, if he keeps giving people money, so, you know, we've got SNAP cards out there. We got to get to everybody.
Right.
And I mean,
isn't that interesting that they've renamed them from food stamps to SNAP cards?
You know, we went from food stamps to basically a debit card because we didn't want to embarrass these people at the grocery store. Now they've got a SNAP card. And they're lit. I mean, for the government, there's 2 ads out there that are just driving me batty. One, the SNAP card ad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just, you know.
You mean the one where they say if you own a house and then you own a car and if you have a job that you could still
come
qualify?
Get your food stamps.
Right.
And then the other one is the ones making sure that people are filing for their... we forgot to turn that off. We'll get that turned down here. There we go.
Oh, text message. Okay.
Despicable Me, one of my favorite movies.
I wonder why that's one of your favorite movies.
Come on, he had 3 girls. It was cool.
Okay.
But, they're advertising people to make sure they get their earned income credit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, this falls in the same category as CPW, locally advertising. I mean, if you live in the city, you know, you got to buy your electricity, sewer, and water, natural gas from CPW. There isn't a competitor.
Right.
Why should they advertise? I mean, and the government shouldn't be advertising to give people money. So I think most people that qualify for food stamps know what they are.
Now, just for curiosity, what do you think about the, they're calling it the millionaire's tax, the Buffett rule? What do you think about, do you think that's going to progress forward?
Not right now, not before the election. I mean, you're going to have the Democrats pushing to take more. I mean, you got 50% of the people out there that are paying taxes, and you got 50% that aren't. And we're continuing pushing to get more benefits, more government benefits for people, rather than trying to get people back, get them working, get a job, and even some of the jobs that have been created and not been created. I mean, you look at, you know, from Solyndra down to the solar panels in Nevada to the one in California, you know, the green cars are just, you know, ridiculous. They're saying now the break even on most of the hybrid cars is 13 years. You know, so we're buying cars to make people feel good, not because there's benefit there. And, of course, the Volt was a total disaster. I was talking to one of our car dealers here locally and said, hey, I got a Volt. I needed to trade in. And he said, good luck. And he didn't want it. So, but I don't think the government should be in business in subsidizing things. And I'll take that from the oil companies to the drug companies right on down the ladder. I don't think governments should be subsidizing businesses.
Do you think the oil industry should lose their subsidies then?
Well, I mean,
tax credits, whatever they are.
The tax credits that they get are tax credits for every industry. So to say, well, the oil industry get these tax credits. So if you're going to take it, you can't just specify, you know, that's like here in Greenwood, you know, we're going to take tax credits away from only the people that live in lodge grounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do that. And so the tax credits that the oil companies get are similar to tax credits that all the other companies get. So you've got to be fair across the table. But if you're just going to take them to give to another company, you know, I think the farmers, you know, shouldn't get a lot of the credits that they get. I mean, and especially when you're paid not to grow a crop. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, you know, and farms should be run as business. So, you know, I think government should get out of a lot of businesses at this point in time. But it's got to be, you know, you just can't pick on one industry.
Well, I think what's interesting, the number of regulations that keep getting added in, and you don't even know, all of a sudden there's a new regulation coming down, and a lot of these are not going through Congress, they're not going through the Senate, they're just, some czar is coming up with the idea that this would be a good thing.
But that's what we've created. I mean, it's the same thing in my business. I mean, you know, all of a sudden they say, well, from here on out, you've got to, you know, if you come in to talk about rolling over a 401k or an IRA, the government now says I have to give you two proposals. I can't just give you what I like. I've got to give you two proposals. I've got to ask you how much money you plan to take out in the next 3 years. Your time.
You have to turn that into the government?
It's got to be on the account. I mean,
wow.
You've got to put it on the account now. So, you know, it's and it's got to be written down. And this has come from the Dodd-Frank bill.
Wow.
And so all the regulations that were in there, and I mean, we've got a House and Senate, both Democrats and Republicans, that are passing bills, and they have no idea what's in them. You know, the health care bill is ridiculous. I mean, $500 billion just went to the IRS this last week to enforce the Health Care Act.
And you might ask yourself, why does the IRS need this money, and aren't they hiring extra people, like 500 people or some extra people, to help administer this? Why is the IRS involved? Does this have to do with your health care?
Yes. Well, it's mandated.
Right.
So if you don't do it, but, you know, I've got a problem with that. Well, we're going to mandate this, but we're going to give all these people exemptions. You know, if we're going to mandate it for everybody, let's do it across the board. Everybody on the same playing field. And I would say this, you know, the president and the Congress and the Senate needs to be on that same playing field. I mean,
do you think that'll ever happen?
No.
In this administration, what we have going? No. Do you think it has to be all Democratic or all Republican anymore for this to work?
It shouldn't be, but it is. I mean, that's, you know, we get some, you know, some bills go through and cross over fairly well. But, you know, I still have a feeling most politicians are there for their pocketbook and not for mine. And you continually see that. So, and when, you know, I'd like to see it change, but I don't have a lot of faith in the system right now.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we are here with the one and only Phil Biffle, Edward Jones Financial Advisor. We are going to hear a word from our sponsors when we come back. You know, we'll be talking more, and if you've got a question for Phil or some point that he's made that you'd like to counterpoint or just throw a few words in, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Share them with me. Goodbye, gray sky. Hello, blue. There's nothing can hold
gold more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Right,
Saturday,
we're back here at
Kirk Watch
Gallery, and if you are out there getting to look a little cloudy, a little, might look like we might have a little rain out there, it's getting kind of windy, looks like it could be something like that coming up. Let's just check and see what the weather is right now. It is right now, 76 degrees, partly cloudy out there. What are we looking for? partly cloudy skies, low around 45 degrees tonight, and tomorrow mainly sunny skies, high of 67. But looks to me like we might get a little rain out there. We are here with the one and only Phil Biffle right here on Meet Me at the Diner in my studio right in the back of Sharp Facets Gallery. We've been talking about being a little PO'd with the way things are going with government regulation on businesses and, of course, all the entitlements that are out there. And, Phil, did you actually tell me that you thought the did we discuss the fact of the millionaire's tax? Did we actually answer that one or not?
No, I said I probably wasn't in favor of it.
You probably weren't in favor of it. Okay.
You know, if it, you know, I'm not a millionaire.
Right.
I don't have income anywhere near that level. But I just, you know, I think we need to reposition the American public to go back to work, and rather than raising taxes, you know, and it's just like anybody spending money. I mean, if you've got a spending problem, giving you more money doesn't solve the situation. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things we could do to cut. Change the way things are done, get the government off the back, let people start hiring again. I mean, you know, I think we talked about it before. There's a little business down on Route 10 that the EPA is trying to put out of business. I mean, it's a, sawmill.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working hard, not hurting anybody down there. But,
right.
You know, and he has to, if he brings wood in, he's got to document where he got that wood. He just can't come to Gatewood and get a pine tree and bring it in. I mean, it's just amazing what the government does to protect us. So, and I really believe that most people are smarter today, that they can make good decisions in their own lives, that they don't need the government making these, you know, all these protection rackets. So, but every time something happens, I mean, it's, and you can use that Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman case down in Florida. You know, the first thing everybody yelled, well, the government's got to do something about this now. They didn't even get the facts. They just said the government's got to, you know, got to do something. And I don't know if anybody has the facts there yet.
Right.
I really don't know.
They're still working on it.
Yeah. I mean, let the system work before you start saying somebody needs to step in and do whatever. And that's across the board from businesses to education to, like you said, the environment. You know, nobody, I mean, when people say, well, you know, British Petroleum's out there to destroy the environment, they're not. Trust me. I mean, they want to stay in business. They want to, you know, continue to drill, sell gasoline. You know, they're not there to destroy the environment.
Well, they certainly seem like they've made a very big investment in making sure that it's cleaned back up down there. But let's talk a little bit about the banks and what's happening with the banks. I mean, you know, if we don't get banks able to loan a little bit more freely than they are right now, I don't see how that a lot of businesses can have the capital to make a go of it.
Well, with the government regulations coming into the banks, it's not going to happen. I mean, you know, they brutalized Bank of America because they came in with their capital just under, what, 0.05% under. And they going back to the whole problems with the banks were forced to loan the monies to start with that created the problem. I mean, Congress created these laws and said, told the banks, you got to do this. The banks went out and did it. Now, you can take it a step further. The banks created derivative on top of derivative to try to make more money selling these things. But, you know, I stopped buying what are called collateralized mortgage obligations back in 2000 because I didn't like what they were doing back then. So, you know, if somebody keeps buying bad product, it's their own fault. But, you know, I talked to a guy about 6 months ago, and he was buying the seventh sector out derivatives in CMOs at this point. Diamond is paying 20 cents on the dollar for them. So he said, well, I either lose it all or I really make a big dollar. And so, you know, there's always a market. But, and this is, you know, when we can wrap this all around back to the banks, and until you get the government off their back at some point in time, you know, they're not going to loan. Now, a bank needs a spread in interest rates to loan money.
Sure.
And right now that spread's not there. And, of course, what looked like when you start talking about the Fed's allowing interest rates to go up, you know, that's positive for the banks. And we saw a rally in the banks. We saw Bank of America go from $4.95 up to $10 a share. Citigroup moved from the low 20s into the mid-30s. Wells Fargo moved nicely. But now, you know, Bernanke's come out there and said, well, we're not going to pump the economy too much anymore. The problem's in Europe, and we've seen the banks, you know, Bank of America's fallen about 15%. Citigroup's down quite a bit from its high. The insurance companies that need that spread. So But you know, Bernanke and Geithner said we're going to try to keep interest rates low. Well, excuse me, keeping interest rates low affect the banks very, very negatively on what they can lend out. So you need more of a free economy. But I don't see that happening anytime soon either. But I do, you know, the banks, I think, are a very attractive place right now.
Well, then, the stock market, though, the stock market has made a tremendous comeback. Why is that?
Well, part of it just got too low. And companies as a whole cleaned up their balance sheets, streamlined their businesses, and started making money again. We think the earnings season is still going to be good. We start the earnings season tonight here in about another half hour and then 20 minutes or so with Alcoa and SuperValu announcing. But, you know, we see the economy picking up. And that's one of the things Bernanke says. The economy is doing better, so we don't need as much stimulus.
Do you think the economy is picking up?
I do.
Yeah?
Now, you got to remember, Greenwood runs almost 9 months behind the rest of the world. I mean, we didn't slip into a recession for a while. We're always going to be slow coming out because of the type of the economy we are. But if you talk to much of the big businesses around here, they're doing strong. Eaton being one locally, just really booming at this point in time. And there's hiring nationwide. Now, you still got the housing problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people don't have the wealth there that they've had in the past. But we see earnings and dividends are growing. You know, we've got a list of 30 companies that we like that have raised their dividend every year for the past, you know, anywhere from 5 to 30 years. So, you know, we see that continuing to pick up. Hiring's picked up. We've had, 6 months in a row. Now, this last one was a little weak. I mean, we were looking for around 240,000. We got 120,000 new jobs created. But it was still a positive number. So, and
well, they keep going back and adjusting those past figures.
They always do that. They always do that.
Yeah,
you know, and a lot of the worries are fading. And people don't see their neighbor losing their job anymore. Now, you may have people that aren't getting hired, but you know, we do. You know, that fear of losing your job isn't out there. You know, the two biggest fears we've got in the economy right now are oil, gasoline prices. Not so much oil, but gasoline prices and politics. I mean, we can, you know, any time that you have this class warfare.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And my gripe is they say, well, the trickle-down effect doesn't work. Well, you know, poverty level used to be dirt floors. I mean, 20 years ago, I could have driven you in South Greenwood, and I could have showed you people living with dirt floors, not a whole lot of window, no cars, no TV, no air conditioning, no nothing. There isn't that many houses in South Greenwood anymore that, I don't think there's a single one that has dirt floors anymore. But I think they got windows, air conditioners. I think you'll see TVs most nights. You know, you see designer tennis shoes on the kids. I mean, across the board, you know, the economy has improved. But, you know, and I still...
The economy improved or the handouts improved now,
maybe the handouts. So... But, you know, my gripe at this point in time is the lack of people taking advantage of the education system. I mean, and Greenwood has a terrible reputation for the amount of kids that start freshman year in high school and the ones that graduate. I mean, our SAT still scores are very, very low compared to the nation, and these kids just aren't disappearing. I mean, I actually talked to one of our county councilmen, and he says, well, they moved away. And, right, a third of our kids moved away, you know, that's, you know, you're... You know, but that was one of those things. But we got great buildings, and he said people don't look at the quality of education; that they only look at the buildings that they're educating.
Whoa, this is a bad statement here.
Came directly from one of our county councilmen.
We have a good education system, and if we have to work on the buildings, we could work on the buildings.
Yeah, you know, I use the point. You go up to Harvard. And they're using 200-year-old buildings.
Exactly.
So one of
and
those
they had
things.
Probably no idea when they built Harvard that it would still be, and they'd still be using these buildings
exactly.
200 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we do have some risk out there. You know, Europe still has its problems, which we worry about. The jump in oil prices, gasoline prices, that worries us, and then the slowing Chinese economy. You know, you've got India and China that you've got a very, very poor lower class that were living in dirt floors.
Mm-hmm.
These people, instead of buying bicycles now, are buying cars. Wow. They're buying TVs. The satellite dishes are huge. You know, and these people, the more they see about the world, the more they want to live like that. So they work that much harder.
And we're going to have to hear from South Carolina News and a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with Phil Biffle. We're talking the economy, we're talking banking, we're talking anything that has to do with investment. So you stay right here with us. Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Company. Phil Biffle in studio with us. So if you've got a question or a comment for Phil here today, just go ahead and call Telephone Man, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. So, Phil, how'd the market close out today?
Well, we were down, let me get exact number here, over 200 again today. But the positive thing, Alcoa, as we said, one of the first to report earning after-hours trading, is up 5.25% or 48 cents on good earnings numbers. So that's,
have they put their earnings numbers out there yet?
They have, but I can't pull it up right now on this phone for some reason, which is driving me batty. But that's real nice to see. I mean, that's what we've been looking. The Dow fell 213.66 points today to 12,715.93. 1.65%. NASDAQ was down 1.83%, or 55 points, to 2991. The S&P down 1.71% to 2361, down 2361 to 1358.59, and oil down $1.28 to 101.18, or 1.25% fall. Now, interesting note, Jeremy Siegel, who's the head of the Wharton Business School, was out last night. He's predicting the Dow will hit 15,000 next year, 75% chance, and a 50% chance it'll hit 17,000. And he says that stocks are the most undervalued investment since the 50s today, because businesses are streamlining their business, paying down their debt, and they're actually running like they're in a recession at this point in time. So, we like it. We like equity investing, so that's a good thing.
You know, that is, we say that that they're running in recession-type mode, shall we say. Do you think that, though, that they'll be adding more people and adding a little more fat, or what do you think?
Well, at some point in time, you have to. I mean, if your business is growing, you know, you can push your employees to a point. And a lot of it depends on the age of your employees. I mean, one of the biggest problems the auto industries ran into was, you know, when their average age of their union workers got into the mid-50s, these guys didn't want to work overtime anymore. Where when they were in their 30s, they had no problem working double shifts on Fridays, working double shifts, you know, working weekends, working 7 days a week. And, once they got to about 50, 55, they'd paid off their house. They had three cars, a boat. They'd bought their house at the beach or the lake, you know, depending on where you're looking to live. They wanted to enjoy life and didn't want to work. So the age of your labor force makes a big difference. But right now, you know, companies are not expanding plant. They're trying to streamline what they do have, maximize their money. They'll sell off things that aren't profitable, and they pay down debt. So companies as a whole, they're here to grow. But until they get comfortable with government regulations and the, you know, what's...
What about the health care? That's going to be it. That has to be a big factor
that's
for
huge.
A lot of companies.
I mean, that's why they're not hiring people. I mean, and a lot of small businesses are really going to get harmed by this. And so, you know,
sometimes we talk about small business, and but a lot of small businesses are like, what, 250 or less? But there's a lot of micro businesses.
Yeah, I'm talking with 20 people,
right.
25 people.
Right.
You know, that's the ones where, you know, somebody that's worked all his life and built a business, and now the employees say, well, you've got to give us this, we want this. In fact, I was with a business not just a couple of days ago, and their highest paid employee was griping because he felt the owners were taking too much of the money. And it was like these two owners built this business from scratch. I mean, they started with no employees and built it up, and they've now got somewhere around 12, 13 employees, and they pay them well. But, you know, this guy has no risk in the, you know, no risk in the business.
No skin in the game.
No skin in the game.
You know, it is amazing. It, you know, without it being union, it is almost like a union. You're taking too much profit. I want more profit here.
Yeah. Well, the problem with a union is really simple. That, you know, I've been a person, you know, I paid for my own education. My parents were a minister. They didn't have any money. And I scraped and scrounged, worked two jobs, and went to school to get educated. Okay, but when I got out, I went to work at a place where I could advance. You know, the problem with the union, you get in there, if a new job opens up, it's not who's the best qualified for the job, it's who has the most seniority to get there. And I would much rather work under a place where, you know, the best qualified person gets the job. And we seem to have gotten away from that. I mean, you hear it all the time. Well, you know, and I'll pick on, you know, the NFL and the NCAA, you know, coaches. Well, we don't have enough of this type of coach. Or we want this, you know, we don't want the best coach. We've got to have, you know, this level of person. And I have a real problem with that. I still believe you need to hire the best person.
Absolutely.
And cross the board in any business. But I always looked at it as an opportunity and kind of, you know, you talk about my attitudes at time, but a lot of times in business, I'd look at this, well, if that idiot can do it, I can do it better. And that's the way I, excuse my, you know, language there, probably get in trouble for that. But I always looked at it as an advantage. And I always, you know, I showed up early, worked late. I mean, and even, you know, I worked restaurants through school. And it amazed me, you know, I always, if I could come in at 5 o'clock and get those first couple of tables, which were usually easy tables, and make a little extra money, same thing. The table coming in 11 o'clock at night, you know, those were good tipping tables. Yeah, I didn't get to go party with everybody else till 2 in the morning because I worked, but I made a lot more money. But I was willing to stay and do the job. And in a union situation, you know, you work. I actually worked in a union for 11 months. And I was actually building rubber pieces that go in the door for a doorstop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my piece had a little washer that you put in it. And so they timed it out that you put the washers in one hand and put it on the pegs one at a time. Well, I could fill both hands with it, and so I could
do twice as many.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the problem is I could get my 8-hour shift done in around 3.5 hours. Now, the first time I did that, I started helping the guy next to me. I got wrote up. I mean, because you can't help another person in a union factory because that's not allowed. So, I mean, the only thing I could do, I was allowed to clean up around my press. And then I could sit there. I could bring my books and my studies,
but
which I did.
There was no advantage towards being good.
No, none at all. No incentive. And it didn't get me anywhere. It got me in trouble. And it also made the other two shifts not like me because I was able to put out a better product with less defects in less amount of time, and it made them look bad. And so they weren't happy with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what I think of unions. So.
Lay it out there, Phil. Hey, we had a couple of people call in about reverse mortgages. What do you think about those?
Well, it's, you know, if you need the money,
mm-hmm.
it's a great way to do it. Now, there's a lot of, just like anything else out there, there's a lot of scam artists going on in the business. But it allows you to stay in your home, pay your bills, keep it home. Now, the question is, you know, and the first thing I'd ask, you know, if something happens to you, did you want to leave your house to your kids or whatever? So it's a great place if you need the money,
right,
and need cash flow. And right now, with the, you know, one of the biggest problems that interest rates being so low have harmed has been our senior citizens. You know, and these are people that worked hard and then they put their money in the bank. Well, you know, if they had $200,000 in the bank, you know, 5 years ago, they may have been taking home $10,000, $12,000 a year. Mm-hmm. You know, now you can have $200,000 in the bank, and you're lucky if you make $1,000 on it. You know, $1,000, $2,000, unless you take some risk, and most of these people aren't willing to take a risk. So it's a way to give them cash flow to help pay their bills, and they get to stay in their home, but they don't get to leave their home to their heirs by any means.
Sure. So you feel that if you need the money, it's a good thing. Should you pay off your home early if you can?
You know, I'm not a big fan of that because, mm-hmm. you know, that in what we've seen the last 10 years, it's been an asset that never grew. So the money you bought into a home, it's not appreciated. So you need to, you know, if you took cash that you had paid off your house, now you don't have access to that cash because they won't loan you any more money on it. And guess what? You know, your house is down in value. So a lot of times you got to realize when you have a mortgage on your home, you're in partners with the bank on that home.
Mm-hmm.
So not always a bad thing to be. It's a place to live. And you know, a lot of, you know, people that have taken money out of their homes to buy or expand other things, it's been a great way to, you know, build wealth.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Phil Biffle. It is time for us to hear a word from our sponsors. Hey, if you've got a question for Phil or you like or you don't like what he's saying, hey, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days.
That's right. We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Hey, it's coming up on 5 o'clock. Gold was up today. That was a good piece of news. Gold has been kind of languishing there, but it was up, I think, 1659. I'm not sure where it closed, but somewhere close to that. And, of course, silver was staying pretty steady, too. So if you've got it to sell, you know where to come right here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. 229-6613. If you've got a question about something, gosh, I had somebody call me about a water pitcher today that was sterling silver. I told them how much it could be worth, and they were like, really? I had no idea. So look at that sterling silver that you have sitting at home. You can get a lot for it right now, and come see us today. But we are here with Phil Biffle with Edward Jones. He's a financial advisor there, right over there up from Emerald High School. And we wanted to talk a little bit about the, two things we have. One thing, this herd mentality that goes with the market. It seems to me, are you sure that people know what they're doing, or are they just following other people, Phil?
There's a combination of both that. I mean, in fact, there were two articles out today. One that, you know, they're in, I'll pick on a sector that I don't like, index annuities, that this is something that people do not understand what they're buying and shouldn't buy. But a lot of people, whether it's a newsletter they follow and it's the same concept and everybody moves en masse, but that fear that generates, people don't want to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of investing is done by fear, and then they want to be right. And I've got an article here, you know, anticipating the dangers of a market reversal. You know, people want to be able to sit out there, well, I was right. I got out at the top. And, you know, and
or
so,
I bought in at the bottom. I guess one of the two, right?
Very few of them admit to that.
Okay.
But they'll all say, oh, I got out at the top. But, you know, that mentality that they run, you know, very few investors can time the market. And I'm not one that can. So, but, you know, the trends that are out there, people follow where one person goes. You know, if Warren Buffett says, I'm buying XYZ company, guess what? The next day, that stock is going through the roof. But I wanted to go through our top 10 reasons to consider buying stocks. So,
okay.
You know, even though I don't like David Letterman, I've been accused of not being compassionate. I think
right.
David Letterman's a much meaner man than I am.
David Letterman, much meaner, okay. All right, so you got your top 10.
Top 10, the first, number 10 is inflation's a powerful driver of the stock market. And so inflation's about 3%. that means it could push the market, you know, substantially higher. The ninth reason, U.S. companies are global companies. When we talk about India and China, they want to buy our products. Latin America, so, you know, there's these international companies that everybody, you know, companies such as Coca-Cola, 3M, Nike, Apple, half their sales is generated outside the U.S., and these people want to own U.S. products. That's huge. Number eight, companies have cash. You know, they are loaded up. U.S. non-financial corporations are holding $2.2 trillion in cash.
Yeah, we could pay down the national debt with that.
They'd pay a lot of it down. You know, volatility's high. Number seven, volatility's high. Volatility creates opportunity. And it's just like today. If you bought Alcoa at 5 minutes to four, you're up 5% in just a matter of short period of time. Now, Alcoa was sitting down at the bottom. You know, it would have taken some guts to buy before earnings. So, but that's, you know, volatility creates that. Number six, consumers lack confidence. This will change. I mean, everything changes, and you talk about that herd mentality. As people get more and more comfortable, they get more confident, they spend more money. They jam up the restaurants, so I have to wait in line on Friday night to get a table.
Oh, but, darn.
But is that good? When consumer confidence gets above 60, you know, you can see the Dow has averaged a, you know, 14% return going forward. Number five, stocks have underperformed bonds over the last 10 years. That rarely happens, and when it does, most next 30-year periods, stocks have turned that around. Number four, the S&P 500 dividend is higher than the 10-year Treasury. The 10-year Treasury pays approximately 2%, and, of course, that's fully taxable. No, it's not state taxable, but federally taxable. Most of the Dow is paying 2.6%, and that gets taxed at a lower tax rate. So that's always a good thing. Economic growth is number three. Economic growth is likely to continue. Number two, earnings are growing at a very healthy pace. Earnings are expected to grow this year by 10%. So that's big numbers and more cash to the bottom line. And lastly, stock prices are attractive compared to earnings. Like I said, Jeremy Siegel said we're trading effectively somewhere where we were in the 50s. So that's huge.
Well, and that's when our country experienced a lot of growth.
Yeah.
It was after World War II. They were back from the Korean War. They were trying to
own house. They wanted a car.
What do you think about that? Do you think that as we move forward that home ownership is going to be as important as it's been in the past?
You've got two tiers. You know, you got the baby boomers who, you know, I'm at the bottom end of the baby boomer range, but, you know, you start, you know, you after working in the yard all weekend, your back hurts, and it's like, why do I want to keep doing this? And you may have the baby boomers actually moving more into condos, high-rises, and things like that. I mean, if I could find a high-rise that I could live in that would overlook the beach, that I could ride my elevator down and with walking distance have at least 10 to 12 nice restaurants and a couple nice grocery stores and a deli, I'd move today.
You're done.
Yeah, but guess what? I can't. I've been looking. I haven't found it yet. So actually, there's downtown Atlanta I have, but there's no beach.
No beach.
I'm hoping Al Gore is going to be right in the
global warming.
Yeah, global warming
right into Atlanta.
Move the beach into Atlanta, so that'll work. But the other side, you still got all the kids coming up. They don't want to live in apartments all their lives.
But do they want to own things? Do they want to own a house? You know, there's been a big thing about the fact that our society needs to be more mobile. That the job that you have today may not be the job that you have 5 years from now, and you may have to be mobile. So is that a good investment today?
They want to live in houses.
Okay.
They may not want to own it, but they, you know, whether you rent something, somebody owns that house.
Sure, but that's why I was at. Is home ownership the importance that it was even 5 or 10 years ago?
I'd still say yeah. But we're back to the 50s mentality. You didn't buy a house in the 50s because you thought you were going to get rich on it or you were going to flip it in 3 to 5 years. You bought it to live there. I bought my house to live there. I like my house. Makes me happy. And so, you know, I think a lot of people, and especially as the younger kids start getting into their mid-30s, you know, they'll want to own a house. And I think you're going to see that. Now, do I think we're going to get rich in real estate again? No time soon. But I think you'll see a slow movement up on it because people want to live in a house. They want property. They want to mow the grass, play basketball in the driveway. you know, play video games in the, you know, in the den, whatever. But I think you'll see that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's very interesting because a lot of people have said no, home ownership isn't going to be as important in the future. So
I disagree with them.
You disagree. All right. Well, we are coming up on the top of the hour here. Phil, what else would you like for us to know here? Of course, we need to tell 229-0444, 229-0444. That is Phil Biffle's telephone number. And where exactly are you located?
Just north of Emerald High School on 225 Bypass.
And you can always hear Phil and I talking in the mornings, usually about 8:52 in the morning. You always give us the what happened yesterday and what's happening in the market today. So tune in on the I Love Ann Show and hear all about it. Some days it's quite entertaining, isn't it, Phil?
Yes, and some days I'm not.
Well, that is very true. Well, you know what, Phil? It sure is good to have you here on the air with us. Of course, we're on WCRS right here in Greenwood. Coming up in just a few moments, it's the beginning of a new show, Happy Hour with Ann. That's right. We're going to have an attitude adjustment time as we're on the road going home. Well, I can drink, Phil. Nobody on the road can drink, but I could have my martini sitting
there
right here with you. So I certainly hope you'll stay tuned right here on WCRS right here in Greenwood. Phil, thanks so much for coming out here today.
Enjoyed it.
It's always good to get your take on things. And if you want more information from Phil Biffle, give him a call at
229-0444.
And that's right. And he is with Edward Jones Investment. God, how long has Edward Jones been in business?
We go, well, they've changed the rules now. We used to go way back to the 1800s, but now I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
Somewhere in the 30s, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, give him a call, 229-0444. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, and stay tuned, because I'm coming back in just a few.